A day with Mark, a day with Mark. A few weeks after our Palwell Cafe opened, I got a call from Mark Witten, our relationship manager at NatWest. The bank had been watching our progress closely and were genuinely impressed. Within 3 years, we had 7 cafes open, another 20-year lease in the bag for Lewisham, and growing brand recognition across the Southeast. Mark told me he wanted to spend a day shadowing me, to understand what life looked like for a franchisor running a social enterprise with such momentum. I welcomed the idea. We arranged for him to meet me at 6:30 a.m. at my home in Grove Park. I pulled out my Chrysler two-seater, the sports car that marked my midlife indulgence, and we set off. I had a training session lined up with Rangit at Palwell, which would give Mark a chance to meet one of our newest franchisees and see the operation up close. As we drove, Mark peppered me with questions about how we ran things. I explained that Diane worked from home, supported by Caitlin, who liaised with franchisees, handled coffee and food training, and reported on marketing. My role was more outward-facing, negotiating leases, hands-on training, scouting new locations, and attending council and Friends of Park meetings, which often took place after hours. Adrian and I worked together on proposals and tenders, while I handled the presentations, with Caitlin sometimes giving me a discreet kick under the table when my enthusiasm got the better of me. By 8:30 a.m., we arrived at Palwell. Ranjit greeted us with polite smiles and a coffee for each of us. Mark, who had visited Manor House Gardens before, hadn't seen any of our other cafes, and he was genuinely impressed with the setup and atmosphere. Just as we were settling in, my phone rang. It was Lee Thornton from Surrey Heath Council. "Hi, Aeson. Hope you're well. Sorry to bother you, but we need to see you urgently." I asked if he could give me a sense of what it was about. "I'd rather not say over the phone. Can you come today?" As luck would have it, we were just half an hour away from Frimley Lodge via the M3. I turned to Mark. "You wanted a day in the life? You're about to get one." At the council offices in Camberley, Lee's assistant, Nikki Sherlow, greeted us warmly and led us upstairs. Lee greeted us with a tight expression, eyes flicking toward Mark Witten, our relationship manager from NatWest, who had joined me for the day. "I'm not sure I should be discussing this with your bank manager present," he said cautiously. I shook my head. "Lee, I run a transparent business. Mark's here to understand what being at the helm of Pistachios in the Park really looks like. This is it. Please, go ahead." Lee exhaled deeply and explained that Amanda, the assistant manager at our Frimley Lodge Cafe, who had been tooped over from the previous operator, had contacted him with serious concerns. While Aiden, the franchisee, was away on holiday in the New Forest with his family, a furious father had stormed into the cafe. His 16-year-old daughter, a part-time staff member, accused Aiden of making sexually inappropriate comments that left her uncomfortable. 2 other girls submitted similar statements to the police. One claimed to have overheard Aiden high-fiving his brother-in-law, Scott, after the latter had disappeared into the boiler room with another staff member for several minutes. I was stunned. I thanked Lee for informing me and promised to act immediately. Mark and I left the council offices and drove straight to Frimley Lodge. Amanda welcomed us, calm but clearly burdened. She confirmed the sequence of events, stating that although Aiden had been running the cafe well operationally, the culture had started to feel off. The banter was no longer innocent. It was uncomfortable. Later, Mark took me aside. "If this is true, Aeson, you know what you have to do. You've built something incredible. Don't let this damage it." We called Aiden that evening and asked him to return from holiday. Once he arrived, we held a formal meeting at the Bromley Court Hotel with Diane, Adrian. We recorded the conversation. Aiden admitted to making the comments, dismissing them as harmless jokes. But that wasn't good enough. The police were involved, the council was furious, and trust had been broken. We had no choice. After seeking legal advice, we terminated his franchise. Amanda stepped in as interim manager, and we began the search for a permanent replacement. Initially, we had several promising candidates. Carrie, a former Glendale employee, seemed perfect, but a job offer in Dubai took her out of the running. Joe Stillwell, who had worked with Nikki at the council, was interested, but decided to join her father's butchery business. Even our daughter Caitlin considered it, but Diane felt strongly that the stress and commute weren't suitable at that point in her life. This left us with two names, Amanda and Sharn, Ranjit's brother. At first, Sharn seemed like a genuine contender. Then, out of the blue, I received a private call from Ranjit. "Ison," she said, "please don't give him the cafe. He's not ready. He's had problems with alcohol and gambling. I'm worried." It was the first time we heard about his past. Diane was immediately uneasy. "I've dealt with addiction before," she said. "A leopard doesn't change its spots. He might be clean now, but that doesn't mean we should hand him a business." Adrian agreed. "After what just happened with Aiden, it's risky." But just days later, the situation twisted again. Ranjit called again, this time in hushed tones. "Don't tell him I said anything," she whispered, "but I think this cafe could help him. Give him a chance." The back and forth was exhausting. The Panasars were beginning to show their true colors, manipulative, contradictory, and oddly rehearsed. Still, I couldn't help but believe in redemption. I've always been someone who believes people deserve second chances. We invited Sharn in. He was upfront about his past and provided documentation from both his GP and Alcoholics Anonymous group, confirming his recovery. He spoke humbly and openly. Against his instincts, even Adrian began to shift. "Maybe this is exactly what he needs," he said. "His sister's already here. It could be good for both of them." But Diane stood firm. "You're being too trusting," she told me. "You'll regret this." Still, something didn't sit right with Amanda either. She had told us she didn't know the girl's family, yet now she was planning to buy the cafe with the girl's mother. An obvious lie. That, to me, was a red flag. The more I thought about it, the more I believed Amanda had orchestrated the whole situation. She'd set Aiden up to fall. Yes, he was guilty of foolish, inappropriate behavior, but I was starting to suspect he had been baited. Amanda wanted the cafe, and she was willing to do whatever it took to get it. Looking back, perhaps our biggest mistake was not contacting Colin Veer, Aiden's silent partner at Winston's Ice Cream. Colin had been nothing but respectful and committed to excellence. If we had gone to him and offered the chance to quietly resolve the situation, to replace Aiden with someone new, we might have avoided this chaos altogether. But we didn't. We had two options left: Amanda, who had lied and possibly manipulated the entire situation, or Sharn, who had a checkered past but seemed to be making an honest effort to turn things around. And so, we made our decision. We gave the cafe to Sharn. At the time, it felt like a hopeful, redemptive choice. But with the Panasars, well, it was only the beginning.